Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
That's going to happen for me this year is in May, I will have been baptized in the Holy Spirit 40 years. And I'm really looking forward to that day. I'm going to celebrate it like a birthday. Yeah. I really am. It's a real milestone. It's a generation. They call it a generation of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit touched me, again, he broke into my world. And he changed my world. He changed my culture. He changed who I was as a normal run-of-the-mill Christian. I cannot say it any clearer or more. My experience of God changed that day when the Holy Spirit touched my life and transformed my life completely. I was not the same boy. I was not the same again. He changed everything about me, the way I thought, the way I read the Bible, the way my everything, my filter, my everything, it changed me. The Holy Spirit grabbed hold of me and changed me. Our whole focus this year is to arise, to shine, and to build. I so much want us to arise even more as a church. I don't want us to shrink back. I want us to go further into the things of God. If you're making this your home, welcome aboard. The kingship. How's that? Welcome aboard. We're saying to you, come on up. We're not saying stay below. We're saying come on up aboard. Get involved in the dances. Get involved in the movie screens. Get involved in the entertainment. Be the singer. You can come and watch if you want. It doesn't really matter, but just come and be involved. There's no turning back. I want to shine. I don't want to hide it under the coffee table anymore. I used to go to work and I used to be an undercover agent. I never said a word. I was too frightened. Talking about fear. I had the fear of man. I still had the fear of man when I first became a preacher. I couldn't look at anybody in the eye. I struggled big time. And the spirit of fear had to break off my life. You know how I broke it off? Just doing it. Just doing it. And all of a sudden, I got more comfortable with God and me talking to people. Hi. And here I am today. I'm chatting with people. It's the most wonderful thing to do. I love chatting to people and talking to people and encouraging people. And we're saying, come up on board. Come and get involved. And this year, we've added build. We're going to build. The thing that we're going to do this year is become a strong church. A strong church with great pillars of strength and unity. We're going to fireproof this place. You know, some buildings, you've got to fireproof. The code says you've got to fireproof the wall. These walls here, believe it or not, are about two thicknesses of 16 mil fire check, they call it. And so you can have a fire... you can have a Holy Ghost fire in here and it not burn through the other building. Maybe we should need to cut a hole through this building so it goes right through. By the way, this complex got sold through the week. And so then meeting the new owners on Thursday. And so that'll be an interesting little thing to see where they're at. Hey, they might give us the church. They might give us the building. You just don't know what God's going to do next. I don't know about you, but I just want to live on that edge. I want to live in that place where God is moving and God is alive. And he's alive and he's moving in this place. And I love it. I love it. We're going to build families. We're going to build the men. We're going to build the women. We're going to build, you know, the king in this place. Interesting you talked about the king this morning. His focus was on king. One of my little things I want to say this morning, one touch from the king changes everything. There was an old song, "To Get a Touch from the Lord is So Real." It is so real. I know when I got saved and I know when I got born again. I know when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were life-changing moments where God cut into my world and I became someone totally different. I trust that's your experience. And if it's not your experience, we're praying that it will be your experience. We're praying and believing for healing this year. We're praying and believing for mindsets to and things to change and for us to come into this place of freedom. Mindsets of fear and the mindsets of things that have been holding us back for so long. I don't want to hold anybody back. Please don't hold me back. You're not going to anyway. I was in the car this morning and I was talking to Belinda and I said, "Man, I don't know whether I can do it this morning, Dale." And I was in fear. It's been 8 weeks since I've been talking to anybody. And is it still there? You know what she said to me? She said, "Just get on the horse and ride the thing." So I jumped on the horse and I'm riding the thing right now. I love it when God cuts into your world. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. Is how did Jesus cut into his world? How did he change the old covenant world? How did he do it? Single-handedly. I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. I'm wanting to talk this year myself. I don't know what these guys are going to do, but I'll be in around Arise, Shine, Build, all that sort of stuff. I want to build us in the area of the new covenant. And an understanding of what we actually are in right now. And it's such a huge subject. And I don't know which way it'll go from time to time, but today I'm wanting to talk about disrupting the culture. Jesus disrupted my culture. Jesus disrupted the culture of the day. He disrupted the lives of 12 men. He disrupted the lives of 72 and then 3,000. And it's exploding now across the world. Christianity is the fastest growing religion in the world. In China, there's something like nearly 30,000 a day getting saved. In other parts of the world, there's similar sort of figures. Are we seeing it here in the Western world? No. We're too comfortable. We're too proud. We're too complacent. We don't really, you know, I might go to church today. Yeah, that fella's on. Yeah, I might go hear him. But I'll wait for the next time. That's not good enough. How are we ever going to build anything if we never have people here on site? How are we ever going to build anything? If I'm a builder by trade, and if the trades don't turn up, nothing gets done. I've either got to do it myself, and we don't want to do it ourselves. We've been there and done that. But we need to be part of a body, feel connected. And I hope you're feeling that today. I hope you feel my intention this morning of us to arise and to shine and to build. So I'm wanting to talk about disrupting the culture and how Jesus did that. And I'm going to try and do it as simply as I possibly can. I want to draw a diagram this morning on a whiteboard that smells a little bit at the moment. I cleaned down the whiteboard with terps this morning, brought it out, and I changed the culture of everyone in here. I was thinking, oh, everybody's going, what's that smell? What's that smell? I'm so used to terps and throwing chemicals and things around. I don't even think about it. Yeah. And I bring it out and everybody's going, what's that smell? It's my aftershave. Jesus turned up and demonstrated the kingdom of God. That's what he did. He demonstrated that you and I are called to demonstrate the kingdom of God, causing people to have an experience. Again, one touch from the king changes everything. Jesus single-handedly disrupted the culture of his day, the lifestyle of the people of the day, the thought and the belief system of the day, the old covenant. Imagine that job. Such an entrenched old covenant been running for 1,500 years, entrenched. Everybody was in it. A covenant that never really dealt with sin. It just covered it over. Once a year, you felt a little bit cleaner. But the Bible says until faith came, until Jesus came, it could never, ever be dealt with fully. You and I, hallelujah, best news ever, Jesus set us free from sin. It's the best news ever. And we live in that now. And I want to talk about those things through the course of the year. But I want to talk about culture change. And what is culture? It's not talking about cheese, making cheese. I'm talking about culture. Thanks, BB. Is a lifestyle that promotes and protects what it believes. I'll say it again. Culture is a lifestyle that promotes and protects what it believes. So if you're a vegetarian, any vegetarians? No vegetarians. Great. Steaks on the barbie after church. Woo! I'll whack it up on here, mate. Get the stakes are high here in this place today. And so I'm riding the horse this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I need my hat. I need my country. Oh, Andrew's got the hat on today. Good on you, buddy. I've had an effect on him. So culture is a lifestyle that promotes and protects what it believes. A vegetarian lives a lifestyle that promotes and protects what it believes. I cannot eat meat. It's protecting that. Whatever you do, take that steak away. Get that away. I can't smell it because I feel like I want to eat it. It's over there. I can smell it. That's what a culture, a lifestyle of vegetarian, it's just all about vegetables. And I'm not saying vegetables are bad. I eat them from time to time. Damage, does damage on the inside. Some of them do. You know, you can eat, I heard this, you can eat so many tomatoes it'll kill you. You know, those people that eat like potato all year, that's okay. But if you ate tomatoes all year... Well, that's not even, that starch is no good for you either. But anyway, I'm totally sidetracked right now. Back on the horse. So how is culture formed? I want to draw a diagram for you this morning, drawing a big circle. Is this the first time we've had a whiteboard in the church? We don't do it often. And I'm going to split it up into four. And... So we're talking about culture. So I'll write culture here. C-U-L-T-U-R-E. Is that right spelling? There it is, culture. So we're working our way around here to culture. And another word we can use for culture is lifestyle. Probably an easier word for us to understand. So the first thing that I alluded to, what did Jesus do? He broke into people's world through experience. So the first thing that happened, I-E-N-C-E. You take... Get rid of the E before the I. Is that right? All right. You can see I did really well at English. Yeah. Anybody else with me? Fantastic. Love yous all. Love yous. Let's gather in the middle and just... Yes, those who can spell. Can you... In part, not cast spells. In part. So, the first thing that happens, Jesus comes in. So, you can lay this picture over anything. So, at the moment we're talking about the old covenant. Jesus came in, and how did he disrupt the world of the old covenant? He caused experiences to happen. When I think about the woman at the well, and he had. Or the Samaritan woman at the well. She had five husbands, and the one she was living with at that time wasn't her husband. Jesus shouldn't have been there, but he was. He was jumping into her world and causing an experience. This is in John chapter 4. I've got a whole heap of them here. I've got to pick them out. John 4. Verses 1 to 42, if you want to read that story later. But Jesus actually prophesies and says, you've had five husbands, and she says, I see you are a prophet. At the end of the conversation, she's still not quite sure. But if you read the rest of the story, I think it's really interesting. If you've got your Bibles there, John 4 and verse 39, we'll just read that little bit. Look what happened when Jesus broke into her world of sin, her lifestyle of adultery, and Jesus broke into her world. So John 4, verse 39 says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. There is power in testimony. There's nutrients for the next miracle within testimonies. He told me everything I ever did. Let me tell you, she was impacted. She had an experience with a king that changed everything. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. He was not even going to stay. He stayed 2 days of impartation, of experience. And because of his words, many more became believers. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, she became an evangelist. She had a gift of an evangelist on her life. You don't know who you're talking to next. That if they can have an experience with the king that changes everything, what gifts are on their life? What gifts are on your life? Get over your fear, get in front of people and speak, if that's what it is. If you know that's the call on your life, well, get going. Come on. We talk about it a lot. But talk's not enough. Talk's cheap. It's now time to move. It's now time to rise and to shine and to build. And we'll help you do it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we'll help you do that? Yes, we will. We love it when people come and share. They said the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. She preached the gospel. Like she was a new babe in Christ. Jesus had forgiven her sin, pardoned, set her free. Relationship with the King changes everything. So another very interesting thing, I'll bring in some more stories as we go along. Could I just have, Joey, while you're there, bro, just a glass of water, please, bro. So the next thing that happens, see, an experience is not enough to just go with experience. It's got to be validated. So validation is the next one. And your validation is very important because this is 25% on our way, 50% on our way. And thanks, bro. When I got saved, I had an experience with the King. When I got home, my parents validated it. They said, oh, that's fantastic. We've been praying for you for years. That's the best thing you've ever done in your life instead of breaking into homes and doing all the stuff you were doing at 12. You're on a different sort of track than the one you're on now. Good on you, son. Well done. Hey! When the Holy Ghost touched my life, I had an experience with the Holy Spirit. Who you talk to next is very important. If you talk to somebody who doesn't believe in speaking in tongues, wrong validation. You probably end up the arrow going the other way again. And then you'll get mixed up and into all sorts of stuff. You know, we want to nurture you into Christ. We want to nurture you into this culture, this lifestyle of the kingdom. That's what we want to do. And this little fella loves it. He loves it. That's why he walks around as if he's at home. I could imagine him walking up to the fridge and just opening it without any problem at all. I could imagine opening the cupboard doors, Sam. No problem at all. Because he feels at home. This is the best example you can get of a member of the body of this church. You feel like you can do anything. Boom! Didn't work. We love him, don't we? We love each other, don't we? We're all like this, aren't we? Ooh, we're all like this, aren't we? We're on our way, yeah? Come on, this year we're going to be like this, yeah? Okay, I've got some experience stuff to happen and some validation stuff to happen for that statement, I feel. So, yeah, he wants to be out of here now. Yeah, check this out. This is cool, eh? Did you want to have a go? Here. Yep, up here, quick. Up here, have a draw. Come on, come on. Up your hop. That's it. Now, what are you going to draw? Draw something. Quick, on here. That's it. Yeah. All righty. Okay. Are you getting this? Very good. Very good. Thank you. Thanks so much. You're going to go back with Grandma now? Yeah, I know. It's going to be tough. We'll have another go with another colour later. Aunt, get back on the horse. Stop getting distracted. Let the children come. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? He said, don't deny them. So we're talking about having an experience with the King and it being validated. Fortunately, my validation when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit was a good one. said, "That is amazing." I remember with my dad, he was all with all the dignitaries and having a nice conversation after, and I was a young fella tagging him on the shirt, going, Dad, do you want to hear my tongue?" And he said, "Son, go away. I'm talking to some very important people." I said, Dad, you got to hear it. I was so excited. I'm an excitable sort of person. So you can imagine what I was like. I've tamed down a lot since then. Can you believe it? Anyway, I validate it by going, he said, all right. And I go, walla, 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 walla. That was my tongue at the time. I'm not saying also that speaking in tongues is all the only sign about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So don't hear me wrong. Because there's been a lot of teaching out there about that. It's about the fruit of your life. Does it exemplify? Does it... stop looking at the kid behind me. I know, I started it. Okay, let's go with Daddy. We're going to come back later, okay? Deal, we'll come back later. Yeah, it's all right. We're going to come back later. So what happens next is what's called a... If this keeps happening for a while, experience and validation. And by the way, this happens in the good and the bad. If you have an experience at school, say, and we do, a lot of us have these experiences when we're quite young, and we have those experiences like, you're ugly, you're hopeless, you can't spell. Well, that got validated very easy for me by my peers, and you're helping me validate that today. I can't spell. I can. By faith, I can. But if it's ugly and you're hopeless, your validation is very important. When you get home, Mum's going to tell you, you're beautiful. Come on, you're lovely. There's nothing wrong with you. They're just the kids telling you you've got a big wart on your nose. But in God's eyes, you're beautiful. Ask the kids and they'll tell you something different. Wrong validation. If we get right validation, we'll stay on the right side of the ledger today, okay? We won't talk about the bad stuff. So at that point, if we get past this point, it's called the tipping point, and we're on our way to the lifestyle of that thing. So a lifestyle of being born again, a lifestyle of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, a lifestyle of healing, a lifestyle of all these things that we're talking about today. And there comes a tipping point. If your experience with healing hasn't been a good one, where are you getting your validation from? Hopefully from God and those who believe in it. Because if you stay in that zone, if you stay in faith, there'll come a tipping point, and the tipping point comes down to belief. B-E-L-I-E-F. Beliefs. Yes. I got a word right. Spell ant. Ant. Thanks, Joey. Spell anthropology. I can't even say it. Anthropology is the study of cultures. It's the study of culture and the study of the way humans have operated for years and years and years. And this is the science behind it. That people have an experience, and it's validated. It then becomes their beliefs and the pillars and what they believe, and all of, then it becomes a lifestyle. That's how it works. So all of a sudden a tipping point, and we get to 75%, and then a lifestyle is 100% entrenched. That's how it worked. Jesus worked on this principle. He didn't argue. He didn't blog on Facebook all your stuff. Come on. I've done it. I've had arguments with people on Facebook I don't even know. I think that is ridiculous. Let me tell you, if you don't know the person, stop it. It's not real. It could be a computer for all you know. It's not real. So Jesus, it wasn't through argument or protest marches. We see that now. We don't agree with that, so we're just going to protest. We're going to burn a flag here or there. You know, we're going to do some crazy things. It doesn't achieve anything. It just causes it to, you got a saw, you press on the saw a little bit more. So it's your culture versus their culture. You can't do it that way. Jesus never did that. What he did do was he broke into people's world in their experience with God. That's what he did. We see there's an interesting story with Peter, and he and there was Simon the sorcerer, the magician. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, 9 to 25, there's this guy that's mimicking all of the things. And basically they're saying, listen, stop doing that. You know, like that's annoying. It's a counterfeit. And then Simon the sorcerer says, well, okay, is there any chance I can buy it? Is there any chance we can put a dollar figure on this? And they said, no, go away. Curse you, you know, they really got sucked into the guy. And the guy stood back and he said, please don't let that happen to me. What do I need to do in order to do what you're doing the right way? That's a very interesting story. Go and have a read of that one. His life changed. Peter caused him to have an experience with this king that changed everything. That's amazing. I've got story after story. You only have to open Matthew, Mark, Luke and John and Acts and you'll see all the stories. Pick them all out and you'll see this same thing happening all the time. All the time. Jesus, however, did go into the temple and he did teach and turn tables over and do all sorts of things. You've got to understand what Jesus was doing. He was breaking into the old covenant world. That's not our job, that was his job, and he's done it. And we live in that now. We live in this new covenant. And I better get moving. By the way, there's a whole stack of Old Testament examples of this as well. We look at Joseph and the Pharaoh and the magicians. Joseph, you know, his dream interpretation. And eventually he becomes the second in charge of the whole region. Moses and Aaron and the Pharaoh's magicians also, where they were able to lay down their staffs and turn into snakes, but Moses and Aaron's staff turned into snakes and ate all their snakes. So whose snakes were better? Their snakes were better. Experience, validation, beliefs, lifestyle. It changes everything. We as the church, the ecclesia, the followers of Christ, what are we to do? His works, his miracles, his teachings, his love. Signs and wonders and healings. I've got a moment or two, and I basically just want to talk about the old covenant system for a second, because that's where I did start. And I started with all the stuff that I wanted to talk about. Now I'm going to start with all the stuff God wants to talk about. Jesus disrupted the law. He disrupted the old covenant system. Let's have a look in Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 4. We doing okay? This okay? Are you getting something out of it? Great. Love being in church. Love being doing life with you guys. It's awesome. So Galatians is an amazing book. I've talked to some people and they say Galatians needs to be ripped out of the Bible because I don't believe any of it. Because they're so entrenched in the law that this book of Galatians just slams every single thing. If you want to challenge some things with a law person, just open up the book of Galatians. So here's a summary. Paul puts a summary in here in verse 4. But when the time had fully come, when the perfect time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to what to do? To redeem those under the law. Who was under the law? The Jews. The Jews were under the law. The Ten Commandments were for the Jews. The 665 laws were for the Jews. So Israel. Was it for the Gentiles? Does that clear anything up for anybody? Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit of he who calls out, Abba Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. What an amazing scripture. So when the time had fully come, when God sent his Son, who'd always existed, look at John chapter 1. He's always existed. So God the Father and God the Son were changing something, were breaking into the old covenant world and trying to break something, something that hadn't worked for years. The law, the Mosaic covenant, to be more accurate, existed for approximately 1,500 years. So that's the law. Up until that time, nearly 2,800 years, it was conscience. Conscience. My conscience tells me not to do that. But then the law came, and we're going to talk about this another time, not today, because this is a summary. In fact, it's a quick summary. The law, it highlighted sin, but was unable to forgive it or rid it. It just covered it. Sin and the consequences for sin were center stage. If you just read Deuteronomy chapter 28, all the blessings and the curses. It was about performance, and we've heard all this before. But again, it's a quick summary. If you haven't heard it before, if you did something right, you were blessed. If you did something wrong, you were cursed. God's true nature was veiled with this law. It wasn't his true nature. They couldn't see his true nature, who God's heart really was. It was veiled with wrath, with punishment and death. In fact, Galatians 3, just go back a fraction where you are, 3 and verse 22, but the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. So that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. This is there's so much in here. Faith had to come. Jesus had to come to overcome this system. He broke into their world through signs and wonders and miracles. And that's, if we were going to talk about anything today, that's what we're called to do as the church, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do. We're not to get into argument. We're not to get into my belief system against your belief system and argue about this and argue about that. Demonstration and experience is far more powerful. That's what Jesus did, and that's what we need to do, and that's my point today. So, however, at the end of, this is really interesting, at the end of Deuteronomy, chapter 30 and verse 6, there was a glimmer of hope. A glimmer of hope. God always gives us hope in amongst what we think is really bad. Deuteronomy 30 verse 6, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. That's different. Circumcise your heart, that's different. Circumcision was the other thing in the law. Now we're talking about circumcision of the heart, which there's a change. Jesus comes to change everything. So, and to live. I've come that they may have life and life to the full. It's a Zoe life. That's the life we're supposed to live. If you're not quite sure that the old covenant has finished, Hebrews 8:13. Now, the book of Hebrews, as a kid, I never understood it. It was just gobbledygook. I remember going to Lismore to my nan's house for holidays one year, and I said, I'm going to read the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to understand it. I got through chapter 1. Chapter 2, I couldn't understand it. As a kid, I couldn't understand it. And now I'm beginning to understand it. I can't say I fully understand it, but I'm beginning to understand this Bible. It's the whole book of Hebrews is this transition from the old to the new. From the old covenant to the new covenant. That's the whole picture. And if you look through that lens, that's what you'll see. It's fascinating. I'm nearly finished. Hebrews 8:13 says, by calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. It's disappeared. We'll talk about that another day. It's gone. We now live in a new covenant. This word new is the word kainos. It's like a prototype. It's never been seen before. It's the word new. That's where we get new wine, new covenant, new creation. They're all the word kainos, which is new. So it's not next year's model. It's a prototype of something totally new, never seen before. Wow, check out that Hilux. That's a beauty. One that flies, one that doesn't spend any money on fuel. Like, this is amazing. It's every now and then I can go on water, or I can go in the air, or I can float here, float everywhere. And the colour, I've never seen that colour before. And that's what this word kainos means. So it's not the next model up. It's not just, you know, mix it up a little bit and change it and add a few this and... there it is. Put a bit of icing on it. Stick a couple of candles on it. Yep, we've done her up. We've done the old covenant up. No, it is something brand new. Something fresh and alive and new. And that's what I want to open up this year, if you permit me. Is that okay? If you want to hear any of this stuff? I love talking about the freedom and the new life that comes through this understanding. It's such an exciting thing. Next time I get the chance to preach, I'm going to be talking about the four messianic miracles that Jesus performed to prove that he was the Messiah. And it totally got them. It got them big time, because the very thing that they were looking for was right before their eyes. The Messiah, the King, he was right there. And they still couldn't see. Still couldn't see. I'll finish with this. Simply, Jesus comes to reveal the heart of the Father and set the captive free. Luke 4:18, we know Jesus was anointed. You and I are anointed. What to do? To preach good news to the poor. He has set me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed and proclaim the Lord's favour. Amen. Yes, sister.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.